Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Live on DAZN Worldwide, May 2nd and 3rd, Garcia versus Romero and Canelo versus Skull. Friday from 6 p.m. Eastern, Garcia returns in a history-making Times Square takeover. 24 hours later, Saturday from 7 p.m. Eastern, King Canelo faces undefeated Skull for the undisputed crown. May 2nd and 3rd, a knockout weekend of boxing. Pick one or go all in for only $90, exclusively on DAZN. Buy now at DAZN.com/boxing.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Chris Henry joins me now. Chris, what are you listening to?
That's Seasonal by the late Memphis indie punk artist Jay Retard, who died in 2010. Jay would have been 45 years old today.
All right. Lakers are bounced. No surprise to you. What's, I don't know if you studied their path. I assume LeBron's coming back next year. I assume Luka, I guess, will sign the deal, the much, smaller deal than he could have signed had he remained in Dallas. I don't really blame them for not being able to assemble a good team around them, given that they were doing this on the fly. Thoughts on the Lakers' future?
Well, I mean, last night Beverly highlighted that they needed a center pretty badly.
Yes.
And they tried to trade for one right at the deadline in Mark Williams, and then they rescinded it for medical reasons, and at that point it was too late to do anything else. And so you get to a playoff game, and Jackson Hayes is just not playing at all, and you have a 40-year-old LeBron James playing like 40 minutes at center, and Rudy Gobert's going off. And so that was sort of a bad place to be. To lose a playoff game at home, an elimination game, playoff game at home with LeBron James and Luka Doncic on your team and the best player on the other team, in theory, Anthony Edwards went 0 for 11 from 3.
Yep.
It's pretty rough stuff. I don't know about the Lakers, man. Like, LeBron is still good, but, like, he's not getting better. And I assume he'll be back because he can make $60 million coming back to the Lakers. I don't think he's going to play anywhere else.
Right.
I don't think he's. I think he's living in Los Angeles and making money is what LeBron James is doing, and like he'll be doing that for the Lakers, I assume.
Well, that's the interesting thing is that there's no question that Dallas was a loser in this trade, and I don't know what Lucas said nice things about. He said nice things last night about J.J. Redick. He said playing for him is a little bit like being back in Europe, and he raved about him afterwards. And I presume at this point he'll go forward that way. But he had a better team around him in Dallas.
He did. He did. Obviously, Kyrie got hurt since then, so if Kyrie still gets hurt, that changes it a little bit. They had a lot of injury issues.
Yeah.
But no, fundamentally, yes. The team he was on in Dallas last season is better than the team he's on with the Lakers this season. And it doesn't seem to be like clear, obvious opportunities for them to turn that into the kind of team that he took the NBA Finals a year ago. Then again, it's the Los Angeles Lakers,
right.
So we all just wait until like
right.
some amazing player shows up, and puts on a uniform.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I agree with that. So George and I went through the exercise. We hadn't done this previously, but now that the Grizzlies are out, we went through the exercise of determining who we wanted, which was our unofficial official team to root for, of Jeff Calkins Show, in the West and in the East. And in the West, I think it's pretty easy. We came down on the side of Minnesota. They got Mike Conley. In the end, there's been a rivalry there, but Memphis has been the better team in the rivalry, so it's harder to hate them. It's small market, Ant's likable. Like, it seems pretty easy to me that, and every other team I can't root for, maybe Denver, kind of like Denver, because they have the best player in the world and he's fun and whatever, but it seemed like it was Minnesota. On the East, could be Detroit. You got Jalen Duren and J.B. Bickerstaff, but let's be honest, they're not going to win, go far. I have a chance in Cleveland to pick a team that, as you point out, gives Memphis hope because of the path that they have traveled, but also is a really good team and yet kind of an underdog because they're from Cleveland. I'm going for a Cleveland-Minnesota finals, which also would highlight two markets. That, I mean, the NBA, I guess the people who want big TV series would, quote-unquote, hate it. That's my series. What's your analysis?
I have actually thought about this, and I had pretty much the exact same thought process and the exact same conclusion as you did. So yeah, it's Minnesota. It was a Minnesota-Denver question, you know, pretty much, because you just can't do like Los Angeles teams, and you can't do the Warriors, and the Thunder just beat the Grizzlies. Like, you know, you don't want them to win. But Denver's already won, and then there's Mike Conley. So yes. And then on the other side, no, Detroit would be lots of fun. But like you, I don't take that seriously. And so Cleveland, I mean, I like the construction of that Cleveland team. I don't like that Cleveland has the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Oh, there's that. Yeah, no.
Where
good
Memphis
point.
Should, right?
Yeah.
But I like the construction of that team, and I do. And this is the point I've been making all year. Like, that is something you can look at and say, you can build a team like this, and you can do this. And so it's easier to tell yourself that if they actually do it.
I'm going to return to that point in just a minute. In terms of some of the others in the West, George asked, do we want Oklahoma? We don't. We don't want Oklahoma City because you don't root for your richer, more handsome twin. Like, you just, and they just beat you. Right. You just don't do that. There is this whole, if they eviscerate the whole rest of the league, like, it's interesting, though. You did, when we were talking about this earlier, are not totally convinced that they're going to.
I thought, and that Denver Clippers series is interesting because the Clippers could have won that in a sweep, and now they might lose it.
Right. I think we're losing. Speaking of losing it, oh, there you are. You're back. We lost you you blipped for a moment. You're driving through Iowa. Where are you?
I'm Missouri at the moment, but okay. Yeah. So same difference, really. So that Denver Clippers series. It was 2-2 through four games, but Denver won one game, like game one at home in overtime. They just barely squeaked out. And then they won, you know, the game three, or I guess it was maybe game four. They won literally this buzzer-beating dunk that was controversial.
Yeah.
And so the Clippers probably should have swept that series. And now the Clippers might lose that series because, you know, now they're down 3-2 and they got to win the last two. I thought that the Clippers specifically – to give the Thunder a series. I am less convinced of that with Denver.
I get you. Okay. To your point, though, about Cleveland, and this is a point you've been making all year, that people wondered if they were properly constructed, would you had to break them up? They sort of failed in the playoffs last year, and what they did is they changed their coach, and they came back, and they stayed to the course, and they added some players, and presto, look at how good they are this year. And that is a path for the Grizzlies could follow. At some point, I was taking calls on the Grizzlies, and it came up other teams that at one point looked dead or looked like they had reached their whatever, should they be broken up? And so, and there's a bunch. There's Milwaukee at one point. People talked about you have to get Giannis out of there to win a championship would be another. And Denver, honestly, before they won their title, they'd had a lot of failures as well. Are all three of those situations, those in addition to Cleveland, can they be analogized through the situation Memphis is in now or lessons?
I think the Cleveland one's a particularly neat fit. I mean, Denver and Milwaukee had Jokic and Giannis. I mean,
I can see that.
Those are MVP players. Donovan Mitchell this year is probably going to be maybe finished fifth in the MVP vote. He's going to be like the fifth guy on the all-NBA ballot. Well, a few years ago, John Morant was seventh. You know, he was second-team all-NBA. He was seventh on the MVP. Like, fifth, seventh, it's not that big of a difference, right? But I do think the Grizzlies thing is predicated on John Morant being that. It's not predicated on John Morant being, like, the MVP of the league. But it's predicated on him being very solidly, strongly in the second tier of players, which is where Donovan Mitchell is now. Morant has been that. Maybe he was only that for 1 year, but he was that. And frankly, he was on his way to being that the next year until everything fell apart. with the suspensions and then the Steven Adams and Brandon Clark injury. I think he was going to be probably second-team All-NBA again. And so the question was, that starts with the Grizzlies is, can John Morant get back to that? And I think the answer is maybe. I can't pound the table and say yes. That is, he will get back to that because there's reasons to believe he won't. But I don't think it's out of the question.
Where does the comparison fall down? Like, where are the weaknesses in it? What was the level of fretfulness about the Cavs after last year's playoff situation?
Well, where it falls down is that it may be that every player, when you do the side-by-side, every Cleveland player is just a little bit better than every Memphis player, right? Maybe Morant doesn't get back to that, and he's not, you know, the outskirts of MVP that balance. Maybe as good as Jaren is, Evan Mobley, because he rebounds and because he's a little bit younger and a little bit bigger, maybe he's just a little bit better, right? Maybe Zach Edey doesn't become the Jared Allen style, like, you know, double-double, makes one all-star game in his career kind of center. And maybe that, you know, Darius Garland is a guy who, like, is going to get a few All-NBA votes, and Desmond Bane's a guy who's never going to get any All-NBA votes. That's where it falls down for the most part. And then you can go for other things from there. There's all kinds of reasons why it probably won't happen, and it probably won't. But it could in a way that, like, the Giannis situation's not going to happen. You
right.
Know?
Yeah. In terms of Ja's stature, this is another topic we were talking about earlier. Obviously, as you pointed out, he was 0-for-11 last night. That team, by the way, they were 7-of-47 from three, and they still won that game against the Lakers. But so Ant obviously is a superstar. Shea is going to be the MVP, and Luka is Luka. I'm going to put Wemby over to the side here for a moment because he's different, and he's got health issues and different sort of place in it, all whatever. I'm giving you those three players for the Chris Harrington NBA team. Rank them: Luka, Ant, and Shea Gilgeous-Alexander.
I still think Luka is the greatest talent, but the injury conditioning stuff, which is part of the reason they traded him, like, is more of a concern with him than it is with the other two.
Yep.
It's a tough call because I think, as good as SGA is, I think that the team that he is part of is so much a part of it with him. I don't know that he's really better all around than Anthony Edwards, who's right. A better deep shooter and I think maybe a better one-on-one defender. And so that's a real toss-up. I'm gonna go. I don't have conviction on it. If Luka is healthy, the best version of Luka is the best player. So I'm gonna go Luka, SGA, Ant. But I think it's very close, actually.
You also, though, when you're doing this, you also tend to say, who do you like to watch? So how does that play into it?
I wasn't embedding that in your question.
I know, but sometimes you do put that in your, give me the guy. Yeah. So who of these, who do you like to watch?
That's all a close call. They're different. They're really interesting players in different ways. Anthony Edwards, maybe, you know, maybe that's the guy I like to watch the most. SGA, you know, foul merchant, S.A. Chan in right. FedEx form, it's not as interesting. I do like guys who play defense, too, and Luka doesn't do that. So I might go Anthony Edwards on that one.
Do we have any sense, by the way? I was going to get into this, some other topics I'll talk to you about tomorrow. Do we have any sense on the timing of when we will hear about, I mean, the first thing with the Grizzlies that we will know coming up is the coach, right? I mean, we're not going to know about trades, obviously, until the trade season comes around.
Until all the other teams are done playing.
Yeah, until all the other teams are done playing. So really, but we could find out tomorrow that Isolo is going to be the head coach going forward. Did you get any sense of the timing?
Not really. I don't think it'll be... What's today? May 1st?
Yeah, I guess it is. Yes. By the way, I didn't acknowledge it. Happy May, everybody. Yeah.
Happy May. I think we'll find out in the month of May. That's about as strong as I can get on it. And so I don't know. I don't have a sense it's going to be any day now. No.
Right. Yeah. All right. Thanks, Chris. Drive safe.
Thanks.
So there you go. He pretty much, by the way, agreed with you on everything there. Like, how much is Shea a product of? I mean, of course he's awesome, right? Right. But yeah. If you plucked Shea, if you swapped Ant and Shea, would Shea still be that version of Shea if he were on the Timberwolves? Right. And then there's the with Luka, there's the stuff. And then the sad thing is to me, is that literally once upon a time, you would put Ja in that tier. When people push back on me saying that the Grizzlies are still in the Timberwolves tier, which I do believe they are, they finished one game apart. And so next year, can I imagine that the Grizzlies would be the better team? 100%. Can imagine that. Among other things, Timberwolves older. You know, they've got how long Julius Randle's going to be there, and yep. Rudy Gobert's older and whatever else. So, you know, yeah, I do. But one of the reasons that I think people push back is that you no longer have Ja in the same tier as Anthony Edwards, and the best players aren't in the same tier. Ja is not considered, you know, with Luka, Ant, and Shea at this point. He's just not. But will he ever be again?
I certainly think. I mean,
you can imagine it, can't you?
Absolutely. But the biggest part of that is, and for all the concerns about health or injury with Luka, they are magnified by 100 with Ja Morant, because we've seen it. How many seasons now does he not even play?
It's just injury.
50, 60
if he
games?
Plays, you t- if I,
it's
say,
purely because of the injury. Because
if
when
Ja
he plays,
plays 70 games,
oh
next,
my goodness!
If Ja plays 68 games next year, right? Because here's the other thing: is that if he plays 68 games, it means that not only is he in those games enough, he's probably having relative good health overall. He's not missing a lot of games because he's banged up by this or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
If you got Ja for 68 games next year, I think at the end of next year, you would be talking about him in the same paragraph with those other dudes.
Absolutely. I don't see a way that you can't. And I will say, you brought up an interesting point in where you start your franchise with Chris is the entertainment value, the entertainment factor of these players. Because if it's that, for me, Ant, number one.
How much, by the way, of that? He is fun to watch.
Yeah.
He's also just fun to listen to. Like, I don't know if you saw last night. He wandered home from the game last night. He was out with the people, you know? So it's not with Ant. It's not just he is demonstrably more fun to watch, although, you know, SGA
follows.
Yeah, right. Yeah. But yeah, it's also the whole thing is more fun.
Oh, his personality, his bravado is leagues beyond what we see from Chet and Luka because. Or not Chet, excuse me, SGA and Luka, Chet as well, just because they're quiet. Yeah. I mean, those two are quiet, and Ant seems like he can't stop talking.